Welcome to Engender Love. I'm your host, Dr. Shannon Ponce. Join me as we discuss all things gender so you can better connect with those around you. So let's get started as we engender love. I have many people come to me that want to be gender inclusive that own a business. And I use the term business loosely. Any organization that service people. So whether it's a brick and mortar business, whether it's a coaching business, whether it's a healthcare business, whether it is a private school institution or a private educational business, whatever thing like that, any sort of business like that, I use the term loosely. And with all of them combined, when I hear a hesitation on being gender inclusive, one of the main reasons is fear. And that's what I want to talk about today, is that fear of being gender inclusive, because it's real and many people experience it. So let's talk about it. So the two big reasons that I hear fear of being gender inclusive are, one, they're going to attract more haters and potentially lose business. Or two, they're afraid of doing the wrong thing, of saying the wrong thing and then losing business. And to be quite honest, in a true catastrophe spiral, meaning I say the wrong thing and then this happens and this happens and this happens, the bottom of the spiral lands in cancellation, being canceled and their business closing. So let's talk about these fears and discuss them. Let's start with that first one. It's going to attract more haters. The truth of the matter is it might. I can't say it won't. It might. When you are gender inclusive, it might, and it might not. Sometimes I think the fear is greater than the actual risk, but it's possible, and I'm not going to say it's not possible. And it also depends on what you are doing to be gender inclusive, because this is where I think people inflate the risk. Part of being gender inclusive is changing everyday language to everyday language. Like sometimes I think we think it's using some brand new vocabulary. And it's not. It's like changing, saying the men and women that work with us, blah, 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 and changing that to everybody who works with us. Simple change. It's not a big neon sign going, look at them being gender inclusive. Yet for the people that it matters to, they will notice that you did not speak in the binary. I notice when people speak in the binary and when they don't. So that is one thing. And there are other ways to be gender inclusive. And I think of it like signaling, hey, you're safe here. This is a safe place for you. The literature you present, the pictures you have on the wall, do you have a pride flags up? Do you have posters saying, everybody welcome, all genders are welcome? You know, what's the bathroom situation like? What are your policies like? All of those things are part of being gender inclusive. And so some of those things are more evident than others. And yes, they can call upon hate. And you may lose business because of them. But here's the thing. You may lose business if you don't do them. And I think we forget to look at that other side. I can tell you, I notice a business is not gender inclusive. I notice, and I think twice about whether I'm going to be part of that business. Part of it depends on what they're offering and where else I can get it and so many other things. But you will lose business to not be gender inclusive. So the bottom line comes down to you and your values as a business. What are your values? Because if you're going to lose people either way, then lose them by being in alignment with your values. If your values are to be inclusive, then be willing to lose people who are not going to appreciate and support those values. And if that's not your value, then take action based on that. But you're not going to be able to have everyone. So decide what your values are. Don't forget that you will lose people. Now, some people say, well, that one thing is losing some business, and I get that I'll lose business whether I'm inclusive or not inclusive. There'll just be a different group of people I will lose business from, and I don't want to deal with the hate. I don't want to deal with the comments online. I don't want to deal with the reviews. And what I have to say to that is you get to decide how you want to handle those comments and reviews. You can ignore them. You can address them individually. You can address them as a whole. You can invite supporters to come in and speak up for you. Whatever that is, and that's almost a podcast for another time, but there are ways to manage hate, because we have to manage people unhappy with our business all the time. This is no different. So let's get to the second fear. The second fear is about saying the wrong thing. Well, I'm really worried about saying the wrong thing and hurting somebody's feelings and upsetting somebody. And a lot of times there's kind of a thought catastrophe spiral, right? Like we think, if I say the wrong thing, then they're going to react this way, and this is what's going to happen, da, 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 and I'm going to get canceled, and I'm going to lose my business. And that is a real fear I hear from people as it goes to there, from saying the wrong thing ends up in a cancellation, losing the business. And I do believe anything's possible. It truly is. And but let's back it up a little bit and let's start with the fear of saying the wrong thing. I mean, let's be honest, saying the wrong thing feels bad. When someone's feelings are hurt, when someone gets upset based on something we do or we say, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't, let's be honest. And it happens all the time outside of the transgender and non-binary community. I have witnessed it, I've seen it, I've experienced it. As an OBGYN, I can tell you that I know, people make comments of, oh, so when are you due? When are you expecting? Assuming somebody's pregnant when they're not. Another example of where we make those kind of mistakes is when we misjudge a relationship. I have a friend who often is thought that her husband is her son, and people make comments based on that. And she corrects them. That's not my son, that's my husband. And there are other things like that. I've had friends who have been confused to be the grandparent of their children when they're the parent, not the grandparent of their children. There are lots of examples where we misjudge who somebody is, and it feels bad. It feels bad. There is no way around it. However, in those examples, which I think we all can think of one, whether we've done it, whether we've witnessed it, whether we've heard about it, in all those examples, I do find that most people handle it differently in the sense that if you think somebody's mistake, somebody's relationship, like my friend, you think they're parent and child rather than partners, then a lot of time people give grace to the people that were wronged. That of course they're upset. I really messed up that. I really messed that up. Of course they're upset. They have every right to be upset. Yet so many times I hear when people misgender a person, when they think that they're a gender identity different than what they are, when they use the wrong pronouns, it's like, well, they shouldn't be upset with me. What do they expect? Like, what do, we don't act that way in these other mistakes that are very similar. And I think it's important to look at why. Why do we handle those mistakes differently? Why do we think that there should be greater understanding from a transgender or non-binary person for being misgendered than these other things where we get someone's identity or relationship incorrect or pregnancy status or lack thereof? Why is it different? And I think that's worth taking some time, quiet time, just to evaluate. If you do handle those, if you would handle those differently, if you would feel differently in those situations, I think you feel bad either way, but how do we respond? And I think that is what is important. How do we respond? So some things I want you to think about is that if you misgender somebody, if you say the wrong, use the wrong pronouns or assume incorrectly how somebody identifies, then it's taking a breath. For the person, it's apologizing. I apologize. It's keeping the focus on them. I apologize. Repeat yourself correctly. But are they okay? What can I do for you? If they need space, then give it to them. And I say this because it sounds very pretty standard and matter of fact, but what sometimes happens from feeling badly and is that we think like, well, they shouldn't get upset. And then we get defensive, and then we overexplain ourselves. Well, this is what's happening, and this is why I did this, and why did I do it? And by doing that, by overexplaining, or the other thing that happens is over-apologizing, and it's coming from that fear—the fear that they're going to think you're a bad person. Oh, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? I'm so sorry. I can't believe I didn't mean to do this. I've never done this before. I'm so sorry. I mean, I'm a huge supporter, and I don't believe. Are you okay? The problem with over-apologizing or over-explaining is it puts the focus on you. It's asking for you to be made to feel better as if you were the one wrong. So this is what I mean, but don't lose focus on the person. Are they okay? What do they need? Do they need space? Give them space. Do they just want to move forward with whatever it is? Then move forward with whatever it is. The other part of that is that it's not going to change the fact that it's going to feel bad for you if you're the one that made the mistake, but give yourself some grace. Give yourself the grace that you expect others to give to you, that I'm going to tell you they don't need to give to you, but give yourself the grace that, yeah, I made a mistake and it feels terrible and I will continue to work on it. I will approach things differently. I will look at how I approach things. I will take time for myself. I forgive myself. And notice how you show up when you give yourself that grace. You're not asking for it from someone else. You can apologize. You can repeat yourself correctly. You can check in, see if there's anything they need, and you can move on. So that is what I think is really important, is to know how to manage those mistakes. Because even in the example, the pregnancy example is a great one, where people sometimes think, oh, when are you expecting? When are you due? And the person says, I'm not pregnant. Then a lot of times people feel bad. They apologize. They come back to themselves and they think, how am I going to handle it differently in the next time? Well, the next time I'm never going to assume anyone's pregnant again. Same thing. Where was your assumption? How did that come to be? And what could you do differently? Handle it the same way. But let's get to the end of that catastrophe spiral. Like, all that saying the wrong thing is very true and real. It's also possible that the person you misgender may be completely fine with it too. Not completely fine, but be understanding, be like, it's okay. And they want to move on. Like, then move on. However, in that catastrophe spiral of I said something wrong, they're going to hate us, they're going to tell everyone, they're going to cancel, I'm going to lose my business, and all those things, the first thought I have about that is that something I often tell my kids. I often tell my kids, you're going to make mistakes. There's no way around it in life. You will make mistakes, especially when you're going after something important to you, trying new things, doing new things. You are going to make mistakes. And your mistakes don't determine who you are. What determines who you are is how you handle those mistakes. That demonstrates your character. That demonstrates your integrity. So that is why I spend so much time in my courses, in consulting with people on how to handle mistakes. Because it's not the mistakes that make you who you are, it's how you handle them. But let's go there. Let's talk about the potential to be canceled, which I do find less and less occurrence, but it's always possible. The first thing I have to say is we can't control other people. I can't give you some great recipe that will make nobody talk badly about you ever and nobody, you know, take any sort of action against what you do and don't do. The only thing you can do is manage yourself. And this is where it's really important to stick to your values, to understand what they are and stay in alignment. Check in with yourself. Give yourself compassion. Look at how you can grow from it. Look at what you can do differently. Because when you stay in alignment with yourself, then no matter what happens, what everyone does, knowing your values, acting from your values, I truly believe most of the time will allow you to get through it. Because people see that genuineness. People see the truth to yourself. And so if it means owning your mistake, then own your mistake. Whatever it means, whether it's speaking of your values, whether it's validating how somebody else feels, do that. And you stay in alignment with yourself. I truly believe you're not likely to be canceled. You may hit a bump in the road, but the recovery goes so much better when you stay in alignment with yourself and your values. Because if you, the alternative is to act from fear. What do I need to do? What is expected of me? What do they want from me? How do I stop this? Like, all of that is trying to get in the mind of others, which we can't control, to figure out what do I need to do to stop this. When I really think what needs to be part of that conversation is, who are you? What are your values? And taking action from there. So what I want to end with in all of this, it's your decision to be gender inclusive. And if you allow fear to drive that decision, it's not going to feel good. It is always going to be in the back of your head whispering, why don't you do this? Why aren't you doing this? Because if it is your value, then to avoid it out of fear is going to keep you in misalignment with yourself. So sit down. If you want to be more gender inclusive, answer the question, why? Why do you want to be more gender inclusive? Hold on to your reason, to your values, to your motivation. Because when you hold on, it doesn't mean that fear won't come up, because fear will come up. We are meant to fear out of protection for ourselves. But if we remember our why, then it's easy to go, I understand why you're here. It is scary to make a mistake. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. I don't want to deal with hatred or nastiness. And I'm going to do it anyway because this is my value, because this is important to me, because I want everyone that I serve to feel welcome. And so allow that feeling, that determination, that alignment with your values to lead you and guide you through what you want to do. Being in alignment will not steer you wrong. Have a great week. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Engender Love. If you have more questions, visit my website at engenderlove.com. You can contact me, sign up for my newsletter, or schedule a time to meet and see how I can support you. Have a great week and continue to engender love.